Welcome back to Habits Talk, where we don't give advice, but let the habits talk.
Amen to that.
And today's episode is called Thoughts Are Seeds. So I'd like to start by saying I read somewhere that, you know, studies have shown that the average person has around 60,000 thoughts per day, and about 80% of them are negative and repetitive. And that goes on to prove how challenging it is to cultivate positive mental seeds over time. And the way I see it is like, you know, thoughts have the power to grow into something incredible or something absolutely depressing. So it's a matter of how we nurture and we take care of those seeds, which ultimately grows into something big. So
I think it's interesting you said about 80% are negative and repetitive. That's funny, because the same thoughts that I had yesterday are probably the same one I'll take to tomorrow. You know, I brought them to today, and then they're going to be here.
Mine is weekly. Tomorrow. Like, it just keeps going on throughout the week.
Oh, bro, are you kidding me? I have thoughts that I've had, what, for weeks, months? It depends on what it is, right? Because if I have something that is high on the list in terms of, like, either getting it accomplished or just something that is bothering me and it's at the top of my list, bro, I'm thinking about that every day, all day. Maybe not all day, but every day. It's going to come up one way or the other, right? Until either that thing is resolved or not.
Right.
Or I just completely discard it.
And I think we talked about this earlier, like how it's so hard for us to, like you and I and everyone in general, I believe, how hard it is to control thoughts. No matter how positive oriented or negative oriented you are, those thoughts keep lingering in your mind and you just cannot just seem to just, you know, snap it out. Mm-hmm. And that's a very tricky part personally for me. Like, I could be studying, I could be even doing an exam, and I would have thoughts I would be randomly thinking about something and I'm distracted all of a sudden, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know, I could be wrong, but I believe you know, the Shaolin monks probably, they have a good idea of how to control thoughts, you know. Or the religious teachers and preachers, they have an idea of how to control thoughts. Personally, I have never mastered that art, and I don't think I can ever master that art. I don't know what the secret to it is.
You don't think it's possible for yourself?
I personally don't think it's going to be possible for me, because I go all directions. I don't stay in my own lane. Like, I keep switching, and it's just all over the place. But recently, what I've been trying to do is instead of going all over the place, I try to take the positive route instead of taking the negative route. Has it helped me? Yes. Is it sustainable? No. So more on that later. But I guess my first to build up to this topic, my first question was, do you think our thoughts shape who we are, or do our experiences shape our thoughts, and which comes first?
Oh, that's a good one. I want to define what thought is to me, because it's easy to just, you know, go about talking about thoughts and not know what it means. I mean, everybody should know what thoughts mean, but it's a good practice that I try to do, just define things.
Right.
And so thoughts are basically ideas, beliefs, right? It could be just any type of thing that the mind wants to process.
Right.
It could be information, solving problem, or just imagining any type of possibility, reflecting on past experiences, which is typically one of the key ones.
Yep.
And then you're either thinking about things consciously or you have subconscious thoughts, right? Things that are just in the background, right?
Right.
And in a way, to answer this question, I feel like there are different steps. I do think that a person's thoughts can shape who they are, because I read this book called Mind is the Master by James Allen. Very powerful book. And in there, it talks about how the process of going from, of mastering your mind changes and affects your body. And it really breaks down and delves deep into the mind and to really show us how important are the thoughts we take in are, because I think for myself, my thoughts shape who I am, which is not good, and it shouldn't be that way. And the reason I say that is because I have a lot of desires or things that I want that I let my thoughts just basically have that power over me because I have those desires and wants, right? Like, say, for example, if I've learned to overcome those needs, desires, or wants, I would have learned to overcome thoughts that come in, because I feel like thoughts come in, or they present themselves through needs, desires, in the shape of information, in the shape of advice, in the shape of experiences or past experiences, as we said. Or, you know, it's really, I feel like thoughts are really vast, but they can be controlled. But the only question is, am I subject to it or vice versa?
Right.
Now, asking the question about, do experiences shape, you know, our thoughts? You know, it's like a cycle. It's like a chicken and the egg question. You know?
Love that reference. Yep.
Like, we don't know which one comes first.
Right.
Right? Because the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the earth, the world. Right? Like in the beginning, there was God. And then, let's, for example, right? Let's say God thought about the world and it came to pass. Hmm. There are characters in the book who have thought about something and then it came to pass. Mm-hmm. Right? As individuals, as humans, we've thought about things and they came to pass. At least for myself, I'll say that. Right? Is it things that I want or things that I don't want? So in many ways, it's like a loop, right? Like, I do believe our thoughts do shape our reactions to experiences, which then can shape our future thoughts. So it is a cycle. Now,
right.
That being said, I do still feel like experiences are just what they are. And thoughts are things that, you know, as a child, you experience the world as a sponge, meaning you soak up everything.
Right.
What you see your parents do, what your uncles do, aunts, everything. Like, you have no thoughts of your own.
Right.
You're just like a sponge, just collecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as you grow older and as you start to think, you know, and have your own thoughts, being able to perceive the world and think abstractly, you then start forming thoughts, which then can help shape your experiences. So in a way, you would say, oh, you were just observing experiences. So you were gaining experiences by just viewing the world. But at the same time, I should be learning to formulate my own thoughts based off of those thoughts or experiences that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I feel like it's weird. It's a really back and forth question. You can really argue that experiences do shape our thoughts, and you can also argue that our thoughts shape our experiences.
Right.
Which comes first? That's the question that I feel like can't be really answered.
This question is, yeah, exactly. Like you said, this question is definitely not a question where one size fits all. It's definitely personally, I feel like it's a continuous feedback loop. like you said, how, you know, thoughts shape who we are. I don't want to be subject to just my thoughts shaping who I am. I would like my actions to prove it. But I do believe in the power of manifestation, and I do believe that if I envision something that I, if I have this map and picture in my head, I will be more prone to be working towards it instead of me just blankly working for something without having a picture in my mind. I'm very picturistic, I guess, if that's even a word. But so, yeah. But on the other hand,
word, man, you can come up with any word you want.
But on the other hand, I do still believe, though, that, like, you know, what experiences do shape our thoughts, because they could be what do you say, like failures, for example. Failures would develop a sense of negative thought pattern in our head, and that would basically make us think a certain way. Or we could, even in our life, like, we could adapt our thinking based on what we experienced before, and we could think like so. So yeah, I think there's not a specific answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But now to follow it up with the second question, what do you think comes first?
Oh yeah, like I said, I can't really tell you what comes first. I mean, if I were to say, it would be thoughts.
Right.
Right. So okay. I would say thoughts do come first.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The way I'm seeing it is, like, you know, I guess that's what the topic is, very powerful. Like, it says thoughts are seeds. Now, a seed would grow, a seed would positively grow if it's in the right environment, right? If it's the soil, if the soil is healthy enough, it's going to nurture the seed for a healthy plant. So I guess it's the environment on how, it's the environment we use to think, and where we foster those positive experiences. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, positive thoughts need nurtured through positive experiences. So, but yeah, that's a very sticky question, I would say. but yeah, now we live in a very fast moving world. Everyone has their own opinions, especially now since we have social media and, you know, all those kind of good stuff. Now, how do external influences plant thoughts in our head? Like,
so, well, let me ask. I know I'm about to answer question.
No, go ahead. Yeah,
you said seeds are. Well, how did you define seeds? In this context of thoughts or seed.
In this context, as in the question?
Mm-hmm. Or as in the topic, thoughts or seeds.
Hmm. The way I was seeing it was, like, it's basically a foundation for something to grow into something. It's like the stepping stone. It's like when you build a house, if the groundwork is not strong enough, then nothing you build on top of it is going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to, that's what my thought process was. Like, thoughts are essentially seeds. You plant it, it grows into something incredible, and it's like a ground zero. That's where it all starts from. Right. And then the way I was trying to say it was, like, you know, actions do need to follow up from thoughts, but it starts from thoughts and then actions and then results. Kind of where I was mapping it out.
Gotcha. No, but. Yeah, the reason I ask that question is those, as we say, thoughts are seeds. So external influences, like, they really plant ideas in our mind.
Yep.
Right? The reason I say that is because there's different type of external influences. There are different types of influences. External is just one of them.
Right.
Because if I were to get a thought, I can dispute that thought by, you know, either social media, looking it up on Google, that is researching, or just by interacting with somebody else and getting somebody else's opinion, or by myself, by my own, like, the other thoughts that I would have. So, you know, a thought can be shaped or can be manipulated by both external and internal forces, I think. Right?
Right.
And obviously, it's really key because externally, it's everything we see. It's all our senses. It's our eyes, smell, taste, feel. And they feed into those thoughts. See, so to some degree, I would say that like external influences, they do affect the thoughts in our mind, right?
Right.
And they can really influence how we see things, how we think about things. But at the same time, I'm somebody who think or who believes that it's my own mind that really affects how I think. It's my own thoughts. Now, by that, I'm saying it's based off of my own habits that I've created. The habits I've created in my thinking, in my day-to-day activity, in my daily routine, in my desires, my wants. Those are the things that will affect and influence my thoughts.
Right.
See, that's how I see it.
Mm.
So what about you?
I think I'll start by saying this. Back in school, we used to have this class called critical thinking. And there was no right answer to a question. Like there would be topics, and the goal of the course was to experiment all sorts of different approaches to an answer. It could be right, it could be wrong, it could be neither, you know, it could just be anything. But one thing that I liked about the class was, even if you have a point that you think you're correct with, you have to come up with something that's against your point. So it kind of allows you to think the other side. So what I'm trying to say is, like, how do external influences plant thoughts in our minds? I think I would start by saying news channels. I love news. I love keeping myself updated with stuff. But it's funny because when you switch from one news channel to another, you instantly notice how the narrative each and every anchor in that show is trying to project. And it's just like, at that point, it's not even like the message they're trying to convey. It's more like the repetition. It's like one news anchor after the next news anchor to the next news anchor. It's like a repetition, and that kind of reinforces certain narratives by repeating the same message across every channel. And that's just like programming your mind to hear the same thing, and then automatically in your head, I'm speaking for myself, in my head I form biases, and you know, I'm just like, all of a sudden I'm against my own belief, and it just doesn't make any sense. And then my second question to the first question was, are we in control of our thoughts as we think? To which my answer is no. Like, I could be thinking about A, and if I was to listen to something, and I could be completely off topic, and I would pick a different thing. Like I would completely forget about what I initially believed in. So what I'm trying to say is, like, yes, definitely, external influences do definitely shape our thoughts. Sure. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this, right? Because you brought up a really good point. I guess I wasn't trying to think or bring up, you know, the news in media, or at least go in depth, but we can certainly explore that. I was going to ask you, are we fully responsible for the seeds we plant in our minds?
I love that question.
Or are external influences equally responsible for, you know, shaping our thoughts? Like, the reason I ask this, because you talked about biases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine two people watching the news in Florida. One of them sees the news and decides to, you know, move because of the hurricane update. Someone else might decide not to, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't believe it'll affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it does affect them, right? That's one situation. Two, politicians. You hear what a politician say or a celebrity say, and you take it, and then it forms a bias in your mind. Now, the reason I was asking you that question, if we're responsible, or if the external forces, the celebrity in this case, if they're responsible for shaping our thoughts is, if you really think about it, the only reason I'm aligning myself with that celebrity and what they're saying is because I already have that in me. I already have that same thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They just solidify it. They bring it to light and they help me form this bias.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have had, the Haitians are eating the dogs word for word, mm-hmm. but I already have a thing about immigrants.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense.
So it's like, you know, as individuals, we already have thoughts that shape us as people. We may just need those external influences to foster them, to grow them, to grow that seed.
Right.
And that's why I'm asking you right now, like, do you feel like you're responsible for the seeds you plant in your mind, or are those external forces, including society, upbringing? And upbringing is one we'll also talk
upbringing
about.
Upbringing is a big one. A big one.
You know?
Yeah.
So
do
you think these are equally responsible for shaping your thoughts?
I still do believe that to a certain degree at least, I am solely responsible for the thoughts in my head. Now, not to cast a shadow on the rest of the stuff that we just talked about, but I do believe that my thoughts are my responsibility. But that being said, you did raise a very interesting point. Culture and upbringing is a huge part in that decision-making process. Mm-hmm. because when we were kids, like you said, children are like sponge. They just absorb everything that's just given to them. So we did not have, or I believe we still don't have the advanced level of thinking to differentiate between what's good and bad, especially when we were babies or when we were toddlers. We would just take it as it is, right? But yeah, so I guess upbringing and culture has a huge part in that decision-making process, because especially now, especially in India, like, you know, how families have different cultures and different traditions and, you know, caste and all that kind of stuff. And one state would be different from the other state. And, you know, so it's like, even if as much as you try to run away from it, you'll always be a part of that, still be a part of the culture group. And even if they have a unhealthy way of thinking, you would still inherit some of it. I believe that. You just cannot completely run away from it. So I guess it does influence. I guess my two biggest point being is upbringing and culture definitely has an influence on our thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Absolutely. I mean, going back to my point earlier, as a child, I will absorb the thoughts, or not in a sense thoughts, but really the actions, the words of the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will take that, right? Because those that's their thoughts that they've displayed, and we see through actions and words, right?
Right.
And then I absorb that. But as I grow, my goal now would be to assess them, right? And I think that's really where a lot of the discrepancy is, because then you'd be like, oh yeah, I blame my parents or I blame this person or that person for this because I learned this from you, right? But there comes a point when a man should take responsibility for himself, right? Comes a point when a person should take responsibility for themselves, because yes, you can be exposed to something, but at some point you have to realize that you're the one who chose to still be in there or to still be exposed to that thing. Right. And the reason I say that is because we get thoughts all the time. And you, that was one of the facts that you started off by talking about. We get thoughts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell me there are no positive thoughts coming in telling you to get out of this thing? No, I'm just being real. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure there are thoughts that are also telling me, okay, you need to break this cycle.
Right.
you need to do this that will help make you better. But my theory, at least for myself, is that the reason I don't go with those thoughts is because they don't align with my needs and desires, the things that I want, the things that I've... Because mind you, let's say a child, right? You start nurturing them to become a pianist or, I don't know, a pro soccer player. At some point, they have to accept that or look and assess, oh, is this what I want? It may have been a skill that you have now, but is this what I want to do? Right. See, and the thing about wants is you can't really force people to want something. Because like I said, it goes back to desire, needs. What do I need? What do I want? What am I gravitating towards?
Right.
So, yes, you could argue that as a child, you know, external influences really shape our thoughts. But at the same time, as you get older, I have to take responsibility for the seeds that I plant in my mind. And for me, I would really say that I should know that I am fully responsible for any seed, any thoughts in my mind. Because the quality of that thoughts, whether it's positive or negative, determines the nature of the consequences. Because I know we're talking about this in a negative way, but what if somebody was brought up in a very loving household, parents were the best, but they turned out to be a mass shooter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Do you want to say that the parents are responsible for that?
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can really understand that at some point, I have to realize that I'm responsible for all those things, you know. And that's why I need to learn to unlearn that either the things that are not helpful for me or the things that are negative in terms of thoughts that are negative and they don't help me.
Right.
That's where my responsibility is.
Right. That brings a good point because whenever I watch a news channel that goes against my belief and what I think is right, mm-hmm. I try to hold myself, now an important word there is try, I try mm-hmm. to make myself accountable by questioning my belief system, mm-hmm. my, you know, I just question what I think is right. And that sort of helps me to dissect my thought process in a way where I would take certain pieces of information and try to glue it and make it work kind of a thing. Like I won't take a piece of information just like that. I would take it at its face value and then I would assess it in my head and then I would choose to believe it kind of a thing. Whereas there are many people that I've personally come across that they would just hear it and they'll just believe it, you know? The difference there is everyone needs to do as some level of critical thinking and seeking a different perspective rather than fixating on what you believe is true. Does it make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense because you raise a good point in saying that there are people who can just see something on TV, on social media, on the news, and just believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, as an individual, why is that? I mean, is it because we live in a world where people are so easily swayed? Yes, that's part of it. But why so?
Right.
Because people can't even think on their own. People don't even have thoughts of their own. No, but they do. They do have thoughts of their own.
Right.
It's just the thoughts that they have is the type or is the kind that aligns to other people's thoughts, that aligns to other people's on thinking, because you're feeding off of, like, okay, I go on social media. Typically, why am I going on social media most times? It's because I'm either bored or, I don't know, I have nothing to do or something. There are people who, this is like their goal. This is their desire. To go listen to other people and get what they hear.
Right.
And make it their own.
Right.
There are literally people who, like, they have not built a foundation. They have nothing. They have no. Let me put it this way: they have no tree that has fruits.
Right. Yeah.
Because if we talk about thoughts or seed, some people already have a foundation built in. They have trees. Mm-hmm. They've built a garden that if you try to bring in new seed, that seed could be just weed.
Yeah.
And they might have to weed that out.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
So they already have a kind in their mind. The thoughts that they accept. They have some type of system. And then there are people who have no system and can really just believe anything.
Exactly.
Meaning they have no garden.
Yep.
So you can plant anything in their mind. They are weak-minded.
And that's very that's very dangerous, because that just you're just giving away your keys of freedom and your absolute existence. You're just basically selling your soul away, kind of a thing, you know, just like letting the other person take control over you.
Well, that's why I'm saying you see it that way, right? But then, bro, it really is something that a person like that could really desire and want.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because like I said, it's based off of what you want. Like I think one thing I'm learning for myself is underestimating how powerful I let my desire like use me, because I don't have the will to will something different.
You know what,
the
bro?
Power to will something.
Can you say that again? I'm gonna write it down. I love the way you put it.
wait. Sorry.
I love the way you put it. It instantly made me go like, what?
let me tell you something funny. The way you just asked me that question, I completely forgot what I just said. You said, let me write it down. I'm like, wait, hold on. What happened? What did I just say?
Hey, thoughts are seeds. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, bottom line, I can't say a word for word, but what I was saying was, I don't have that willpower to desire or to break out of my desire. Let's say, for example, I'm the type of person who, you know, going back to social media point, I love just watching other people, watching celebrities, their life, you know, Housewives
of or something. Hollywood. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Or Love is Blind. I do like Pop the Balloon, though, I'm not going to lie. But if I'm that type of person, then I seek comfort in that. I desire that. Then, so if you were to tell me, okay, I want you to stop doing these things, how much... Like what would be the reason that would make me stop doing them, right? I have to have that desire to break out of it as much as I have that desire to be in it. So what is the willpower?
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, I think it's mostly internal. Not mostly. It is internal. So that's where the power really lies.
Right.
Now, in talking, I was thinking about this. So if a thought is never acted upon, what happens to that thought?
I love that question, because that was pretty much my next question. So a thought without action is basically dreams, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, let me rephrase. So let's say, I'm trying to think of a good example here. Let's say I get a thought saying, David, stop eating at 2 a.m. And I'm like, okay, why should I stop eating at 2 a.m.? So my first job should be to assess that thought and think, okay, why should I stop eating at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
Because if I'm eating at 2 a.m., there has to be a reason.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, if it's, for example, if eating at 2 a.m., for one, it's not a habit that I've built up. For two, it's not something that has or if the root cause isn't something that I desire, then there's a good chance I can break out of that and say, okay,
yeah,
you're right. Eating at 2 a.m. is not good for me.
I love,
you know what I mean?
I love the way you put it, especially the way you said that it's my desire. Yeah, that's the key.
See?
Yeah.
But if it is something that I desire, I will battle with that thoughts, bro.
Right.
So I will act upon it. See, because thoughts that aren't acted upon is because there's no desire, there's no interest.
I love the way you put it. That basically answers my question, which I was going to speak on this topic, same thing. Yep. That's why my next question was, can thoughts alone lead to significant life changes, or do we need actions to follow it up for real growth to happen?
Okay. I actually feel like that's different. let me actually
I just expanded the question.
By different, I mean I'm gonna refer back to what I just said. But thoughts are powerful, right? But without actions, yeah, they are just a seed that will never grow or will never become a tree or bear fruit.
Right.
Right? But typically, as humans, we have those thoughts, and then those thoughts latch onto our desires.
Right.
That's where the problem is. But you are right. Thoughts by itself has no power.
Right.
Like none. But if you were to tell some, there are people who will listen to this and say, what do you mean thoughts by itself have no power? They believe thoughts are powerful. Like thoughts have power. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are powerful if you give it that power. But you can become the master of those thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just
referring back to that book.
It's just
mind is the master.
It's just ideas floating in your head at that point. Yeah. Yep.
So, but yeah, I was just, you know, trying to paint a picture.
No, I love the way, I absolutely love the way you painted it, because it helped me to think a bit more clearly. The only thing that I was going to say is it's pretty much thoughts without actions is basically putting down goals and not following it up. Mm-hmm. Or basically just imagining it and letting it just be ideas in a different realm versus making it a reality in the real world. So I remember we talked about how having a feedback loop, and if you have that thought, I believe it's essential that you take the next step and ask yourself, how can I make this thought a reality. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's only possible if you follow it up through. Like Elon Musk did not just randomly dream about having a huge space shuttle just fall out from the sky and just, you know, dock itself. Nah, he had to follow it up. It took a lot of failures, you know. But yeah, here we are. And now it's a reality, and now everyone's amazed by it. So...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what pretty much all I was going to say. Just, like, following it up is very essential. It's easier said than done. I have, there are so many thoughts in my head that I have not followed up, and I'm guilty for it. But for the ones that I have followed up, I'm, praise God, praise be to God Almighty. I'm really happy that I have followed up with it, because it really paid me huge dividends. And I'm happy to say that it has, in a way, what do you call, had a positive outcome, and I'm still proud about it. You know, those thoughts that I wish that I thought that I would never be able to undertake, and I undertook it, and I saw it as a challenge, and I worked towards it, and the results reaped me off pretty much.
No, yeah, I completely understand that. And see, because what I was realizing while you were talking was that, in a way, we're talking about two different thoughts, but the same thing.
Like,
I think it's interesting. So you talked about, for example, people who have invented things. They had a thought,
right?
I was gonna quote MLK and be like, "I have a dream."
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And it's kind of similar, right? They had these thoughts or a thought.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad you brought it up. I'm so glad you brought it up, because MLK said he has a dream. He helped everyone visualize it. Everyone was able to visualize that for a second, and they were able to work towards it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. And thoughts in that sense, right, where you already have a desire to accomplish something. You have a goal,
mm-hmm.
and you get, like, you basically, as we said, there are ideas. You get those ideas to make that goal a reality, that thought a reality.
Right.
You can also have a desire to build an atomic bomb, right? And there are people who have made that goal a reality.
Right.
And to that, what I'm trying to say is, what is the quality of the thoughts that come into our minds? Right. Let me ask you this. What is the quality of thoughts that come into your mind, whether positive or negative?
I was thinking about it for a second, and I will very happily say that it's very high quality negative thoughts and very low quality positive thoughts. I was trying to put it in words, and then I instantly got the answer to the question. Yep, that explains why 80% is eight negative and repetitives. But on a serious note, though, actually, like, I think that, at least in this phase of my life, especially in school, it was very much high quality negative thoughts and very low quality positive thoughts. And what I'm trying to say is, even if I was trying to think positively, it was not to the par. Like, it's not to standard, you know. It would still make you question, like, damn, that's all you could think about? You know what I mean? Like, even if you give me a good 5 minutes to think something good, I would think about it in the most negative positive way. Does that make sense? Like, it would be positive, but it would still make you feel like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like, it won't make you feel good, kind of a thing. But now I've been trying to reverse it, and I'm trying to, sorry to plug this in, but recently I heard something about an idea of toxic positivity, which basically emphasizes on the point where people believe that positive thinking alone will lead to a change, which has happened to me. Now, that's going to be a future topic of finding a balance. But then the question is, how do you find the fine line of balance between positive and what's negative?
Good question.
But again, to answer your question, the quality of thoughts, I am very confident when I say this, it's mostly high negative and low quality positive. But I am working towards improving and reversing that. But yeah, I hope that answers the question.
No, it does. And the reason I asked that is because, like, look at the similarities between thoughts and intentions, right? What do you intend with this type of thinking? What do you intend for yourself? What do you intend for other people? And we've explored different ways in which thoughts are, you know, ideas and belief systems and, or at least can become these things.
Right.
But what is the goal with these thoughts? Like, why do you have the thoughts that you currently have? You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm throwing it out there as a question.
Oh,
like,
okay,
why do you think the way you do?
Why do I think the way I do? I would say...
No, it's very broad. That's a very broad question.
On the top of my head, I would say it strongly has to do with what I believe. It's ingrained in my system. And now to question, not to question in something that I truly believed all my life is, it's heartbreaking. Like, you know, because it just makes me feel like, I've been living in a lie, you know? So that would stop me from questioning my own belief. But that's probably the reason why I think the way I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that does make sense. And honestly, like, this is something that we can really talk about for a while for me, because there are hearts, there are minds and hearts of people who, I will go back to the start, who can control these thoughts. They control their every thoughts that they think. And I know you said, you know, you don't think you can achieve that. I think it's very achievable. Is it easy? No, there's nothing in life that's easy. Let's be honest with ourselves. But at the same time, if I were to question every single thought that comes into my mind and see, is this something good? Is this something pure? Is this something that is beneficial in terms of, what does that thoughts contain? What is the substance of it? Does it have love? Then I can think on it. Then I can nurture it. Then I can grow it. But going back to the point, as individual, we all have selfish desires. And by selfish, I'm not attacking anybody or myself. I'm saying we all have things we want. And what I want, it's like, have you ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty?
No.
It's a movie where Jim Carrey basically became God. Like, God gave him the reins. So there was a point in which he was just answering yes to everybody's prayer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what happens when you start answering yes to everyone's prayer? Not everybody's praying for the same thing. There are armed robbers who they put on their mask and then they pray before they go steal.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if you answer that prayer, then.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah.
It's not going to be beneficial for the victim.
Right.
So I, as a person, need to assess my thoughts. And it's just interesting you brought this topic up because it was something I was thinking about. Because sometimes I'm asking myself, why do I get angry when I get off work? Right? Because I know, okay, I'm stressed. I'm tired. But like, why do I get angry?
Right.
Why am I pissed sometimes? These are questions I have to ask myself. Because there has to be somewhere in which there's something that I desire. There's something I have aligned myself with that I need to assess and find and get to the root cause. Because desires cover them. It's like you have, how do I describe it? It's like something that just get mold on top of it, and the mold just keeps growing. So it's hard to uncover it because that's what the thoughts become in our mind.
Mm.
It becomes like a spider web, like a
right,
a web house.
Yeah.
Because you have to untangle each one of them. Because right now, how much thoughts do we have in a day, in a second, in a minute? How much thoughts come in? Like, I mean, you see people who say they practice meditation. And I'll be honest with you, not everyone that I've seen, because I don't know the level of meditating, but there are people who I've seen who actively have been practicing meditation, or they meditate for a while, where the way they talk, the way they respond, you can tell this person really select the thoughts that come into their mind because of what they let out of their mouth.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because eventually whatever you think will come out.
Right.
And how does it come out? It might come out through words or through actions.
Right. Because
it will one way or the other come out.
It will come out.
What we desire.
Exactly.
It's like saying, like, okay, I'm saying I have anger issues, right? Okay, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, is that I can get angry. And when I get angry, it's either coming, like I'm either expressing it through my mouth, or through actions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, I ain't putting a hand on nobody just before anybody starts getting wild thoughts. But in that sense, there's that need to be angry.
Right.
There are people who don't need to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
They understand what compassion is in moments of anger. That's what they seek. They understand what patience is in terms of anger.
Right.
And that's what they seek. That's what they've worked towards. What have I worked towards? What do I work towards? Does that make sense?
Yep.
And yeah, these are just questions that I ask myself.
Man, way too many good questions. Now you got me thinking. That's why I'm quiet. Now to close it off, how can one tell the difference between a constructive thought versus a destructive one? More something like a seed that will help you grow versus a weed that will take over your resources, your energy, your peace of mind, stuff like that.
I mean, I think that one is pretty simple. See, the Bible says, love thy neighbor as yourself. How do you want to be treated as a person? How do you want other people to think about you as a person?
I like that perspective. That's very true. Yeah. Right. See, yeah.
Constructive or destructive? Would I want other people to have destructive thoughts about me?
Uh-huh.
Do I want to, like, if I could read other people's thoughts and I see somebody who has intent to kill me,
right?
What am I doing in that situation?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think in terms of identifying constructive or destructive, you just gotta assess our desires and wants and needs. What we've aligned ourselves with,
assess and desire. I love the fact that throughout this episode you use the word desire because it's very, very powerful.
It is.
Yeah, it's so true. I shouldn't think about it because personally, even in my life, the most of the decisions that I've made, which has proved me proved me positive were the ones that I wanted to chase. Like it's a goal I wanted to have in my life, and I chased it. And no matter what, the desire is what kept me going. Because since I laid the foundation, I had that thought, and then it worked towards the goal, and then I saw the results. So
yeah, but like that's also willpower. Because like think about this, right? If you plant a seed of apple, are you gonna get a pineapple?
Nope.
Exactly.
Right.
No matter how much you will that one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I see what you punish.
You see, the way it works, at least for me, is that those desires, those are the things that, like, and I know, like I said, there are two kinds of ways we've been looking at it, which are still tied together. You look at it as like, oh, I desire to be rich. And you can work your ass off and still not be rich.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. But you had the thoughts, you know? You had the thoughts. But now we have to question, you had what type of thoughts? Because what is the quality of those thoughts that you're having? See, I'll tell you this much, then, that there are people who have high quality thoughts in the sense that they have the thoughts to be rich, but they were able to expand their mind. So, for example, reach out to somebody who have already done it. Someone, like, there are ways in which people can get creative in accomplishing a goal.
Right.
And by that, I mean, when you get a thought, don't you add on to it? Like, you get more thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
The more you think about one thing,
it keeps building. You
get more of the same thing. Yep. And exactly, they keep building. There are people who know how to either kind of like assess each one of them as they come in and not let it build up and have a clog.
Right.
Meaning, if you get a thought of something, they know how to think small to accomplish each step to get to the top.
Right.
And then there are people who, oh, I want to be rich. Right. But then you actually don't have a plan to get to where you want to get to.
Right.
You don't have an anchor to get to where you want to get to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You look at their desires and need, and then you have to assess it. You have to think, okay, why are they desiring to be rich? Why are they desiring this or that? See, and I'm not trying to, you know, bring up like good or bad, or I'm not saying that the desires are good or bad, but what I'm just painting a picture here is that we really have to assess what we truly desire. Because you can desire to be rich, but still you don't read. You don't read as much as you should.
Right, right.
To get the knowledge, you don't seek out communities and people who've done it. What's the level of desire that you have?
Right.
What's the level of, how much are you willing to get to where you want to get to?
Right.
Because there are people who, oh, I want to be rich. Oh, I'm doing everything. See, they will do the dirtiest, the best job. But also, like I said, they go out, they read books, they look for resources. Like, it really is dependent on the person. But
it's all, anyway. It's all within. It's all within. Yeah. The biggest takeaway, not about how I expected the episode to end, but definitely the biggest takeaway that it's very powerful, actually. It's all within. It's all within. It's all in your head.
I said that was not the takeaway you were expecting.
No, absolutely not. I was expecting a what do you call it? The desire part is what got me. Like, damn, in the end of the day, it's all that. It's the fire that burns within you. And that's very true. Yeah, because just like seeds, thoughts have the power to grow into something incredible. And only if we nurture them with care. And that choice is ours. Do we want to plant thoughts of hope, positivity, growth, or do we want to just let the weeds take over our doubts and fear, you know, and fuel it with the desire to do something great in life? You know, the sky is not the limit, I believe. So yeah, beautiful topic as always. So yeah, keep cultivating the best version of yourself, one thought at a time, and as always, stay liquid.
Amen.